You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com. We're coming to you from their lovely Royal Oak studio.
We are indeed, and we have calling in from Metro Detroit here. We have Tom Tisco, who's the new CEO at Bullseye Telecom. Welcome, Tom.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So Tom was the COO until, I'm trying to remember the changeover date. Was it January 1st?
January 1st was the official date, yes.
Okay. And so, actually, I got a story on my website about that. I did an interview with him talking about stuff that he's going to be doing a little differently than the previous his previous boss, who is now the chairman, by the way. And but let's talk a little bit about that. How are you going to run, or I should say, what new wrinkles are you going to bring to Bullseye Telecom?
Well, Mike, thanks for asking. You know, the things that we're really focusing on is some of our new service offerings. Bullseye's reputation, and as you know, like I said the other day, going to celebrate its 20th anniversary in May. So we've been around for a long time and really made a name for ourselves in traditional telephony. That is, you know, local analog services, PRIs, basic broadband, some UCAS, and our focus really in 2019 is really meshing more services together with those basic communication services. So as we focus on SD-WAN, as we focus on security, we focus on some IoT initiatives, data analytics, and bringing the organization to be a service deliverer or a consultative sales of these advanced communication services is a change for us, change for the better. It's the way the industry is going, and putting together that comprehensive product suite is important, and that's going to be a big focus for us in 2019.
All right. So how is technology, advances in technology, affecting your business and its clients?
Well, it moves so fast. Things that were cutting edge a few years ago, like VoIP, are becoming just commonplace. You know, the young kids that can grab an iPhone and get on a FaceTime call in four clicks, which used to be, to some people, to be able to see somebody when you talk to them, used to be sort of Dick Tracy kind of things. It's commonplace. And so really putting a lot of those technologies together and bringing those to the forefront, making them easy to use. You know, we're not trying to make customers be technologists. Our customers, serve a wide variety of industries, and they're expert in those crafts, whether that be restaurant, property management, storage facilities, other areas, medical suppliers, medical providers. That's what they want to spend their time on. They don't want to spend time on the technology that's associated with security and advanced communications. That's why they bring in companies like Bullseye, who can put those solutions together for them, package them comprehensively, doesn't make them shop around and get one solution from one provider, a different solution from another provider, figure out how to mesh those together and get in, you know, the he said, she said of service delivery. Using Bullseye to bring all that together is a big benefit to our customers. But the advancements really come in how commonplace things that were just advanced and introduced a few years ago are, in the acceleration of new technologies into the space. IoT is becoming something that is becoming expected by some providers, some of our customers, that being that we're a communications provider that's delivering advanced solutions, they want to see that. Security, probably the number one question we're being asked in the delivery of our services is how secure our services are. What do we do to secure voice? What do we do to secure data? And the solutions that we provide to provide encrypted voice or encrypted data to make sure that all the transmissions and all the data that's being transmitted over the communication services are secure. So I think that advancement in security, that the need for security as everything is moving to the net or cloud and meshing all these products together that were what was considered cutting edge just months ago, customers expect those to be commonplace.
So what are some of your top priorities, Tom? What would you like to do moving forward, say, just for 2019?
Well, for 2019, again, the placement of these advanced services and saying that and doing that, you know, the employee base, our employees, a couple hundred strong, most of them in Michigan. About maybe 75% in Michigan and the rest distributed around the country. Bringing the technical level of that employee base to understand and be able to support these advanced services, moving that from just a minority of the employees that can support those advanced services to the majority. Everyone in our company understands the basics of the of communications, whether that be analog services, whether it be basic broadband, even VoIP. But the amount of the employees that understand at a detailed level, SD-WAN, data analytics, IoT, that's a minority. And really expanding the number of employees that truly understand the intricacies and the advantages of all those products is a big initiative. It's great for the employees because it's really taking their skill sets and advancing those in the next generation technologies. Great for our customers because there'll be more solution providers, more expertise within the organization. And it's great for our partners and vendors because it provides us a platform where we can challenge them, advance their products, do more with the things that they're helping us create. And so really working with our employees to advance their knowledge level really helps us in all three phases, both customers, internally, and our partners.
Let me do a quick follow-up on that because I know you have Bullseye University. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Bullseye University is something that we realized that we needed is a resource that we would make available to all of our employees. So we don't it's free to anybody who works here. And we've been creating libraries of coursework in there on basic technologies, things as basic as soft skills, phone skills, but getting into SD-WAN, IoT, and advanced technology offerings so that everyone in the organization has somewhere a resource to go. Not everybody can go to a university or a formal institutional educational setting, but we wanted to make these educational opportunities available to everybody. So we decided to do that ourselves and create Bullseye University, this educational platform where we train, test, and certify people who are interested in taking these different types of classes in a multitude of technologies, but primarily focused on advanced technology, products and services, layers of VoIP, moving into understanding how SIP headers and all the transmission of VoIP works, getting into how we're tunneling with our SD-WAN products and understanding how those layers work within, you know, the packet, how the packets are being distributed, and all those advanced types of services that will be commonplace. You know, we tell our team that the skills that you have today, the ones that you're using in the old traditional telephony, won't be as valuable in 5 years as they are today. And they need to reinvent themselves into technicians and support organizations and engineers and analysts and project managers of advanced technologies. And so Bullseye University is really the linchpin, the central focus on our efforts to advance our employee base in those different technologies.
So, Tom, I have to ask you the question I always ask everybody when they come on the show here. Do you have openings right now? If so, for what skill sets and how can people apply?
Well, they can go to our website. We always have openings. We're always looking for talent. One of the things that we're training is if there's talent out there, even if we don't have an opening, we want to talk to them because we'll find a place. The company that's growing like ours, things that are doing, talent acquisition is critical. So even if, again, we don't have a posted job, our managers, and as I work with all of our team, we're always looking. Now, we have some actual postings on our website. We're looking for sales engineers or solutions engineers. We have opportunities for project managers, for account managers, and other technicians, field technicians, or test and turn-up technicians that are supporting the deployment of our product. So, again, you can go to our website, find us on job boards, and there's a lot of, again, mostly our technical, mostly our high-tech positions that are available, but we're always looking, and we'll be growing and adding more and more resources to those labor pools in 2019.
Now, you're a locally owned entrepreneurial company. Give us a short company history, a minute or two, if you would, please, maybe just so people know where you're coming from, how you started out, and how you've had to roll with the tech changes to survive.
Well, we started at 99, as I said, and we started as a DLEC, which was a data company in southeastern Michigan in Detroit. And then right after that, the dot-coms changed the business model a little bit. We went from offering VoIP, actually. We were offering VoIP, voice over IP, voice over frame, and voice over ATM right in around 2000. A lot of those manufacturers that we used collapsed with the dot-com. So we reinvented ourselves and as an analog provider using services by all the carriers. We went and got CLEC certifications in all 50 states, including and then 51 with DC, and then continued to expand as we then developed VoIP. We invested in a BroadSoft switch in 2006, so it'll be 13 years as a BroadSoft provider, and kept growing and growing, growing right out here in Southfield. We started in Southfield and moved a couple times, but we moved back into Southfield in 2010. And so we're continuing to grow here in Southfield with, again, as I said earlier, most of our staff. But we are doing a lot of distributed employees. I said about a quarter of our people don't live here. They use our services, our communication services, collaboration, VoIP, and other things like that. So they really could be anywhere in the country and look just like they were sitting at the desk right next to mine.
We have about a minute left, so this is where we let the guests talk a little bit about how to reach out to them, their website address, phone numbers. However, you're just talking about you're looking for folks. If you want to talk about what that they can find that on your website for your careers, any of that.
Yeah, that's where it is. We have careers at bullseyetelecom.com. They can email hr@bullseyetelecom.com. If they're interested in inquiring, call our main line here at 248-784-2500 and get to some of our internal team and inquire as to some of the positions that we have. Or again, those are the easiest ones. We also participate in job boards locally, so our positions are posted out Glassdoor and other areas, so they can find us in a multitude of places.
All right. Thanks very much, Tom Tisco. Since January 1st, the CEO of Bullseye Telecom. Congratulations and good luck to you. And we'll be back in just a moment with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening on PodcastDetroit.com.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hi, it's Matt Rausch.
I'm sorry. And Mike Brennan.
And you're going to have to edit this later.
Yeah,
but anyway.
No, I will. I'll take it out.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Everybody was practicing their articulation?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Locutious or whatever?
I think that's a supervillain in the Marvel series.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
You
know, all right. Anyway, we are here with our monthly visit with our good friend Timber Shea of Invest Detroit. I can tell she's from Invest Detroit because
she's wearing
the shirt.
Yeah.
That's right.
She has the official uniform. Is there a hat that goes
just
with that?
Just got my jacket.
Oh, okay. You got to have your name on the other side, though.
Oh, you know who I am.
Well, yeah. But
you know, other people might not. You know,
I am.
Yeah,
plus,
September Dawn, actually, right? People know that? They do now, right?
They do now.
Okay.
Well, you have a guest with you, Timber, so tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Invest Detroit and then introduce your guest,
if you would, please. I do. Thank you guys so much. Good to be here again. So for anybody who doesn't know Invest Detroit, real quick, so Invest Detroit Ventures is actually who I work for, is one of the arms of Invest Detroit, the umbrella of our organization. We do a lot of things in the city. So real estate, small business and industrial lending, and then the bucket I work in is venture. So we're doing a lot. If any of you have seen a lot of the large investments in like the Villages and Southwest Detroit, that's where the parent company is doing a lot of work. And then we're doing all of our work in the entrepreneurial ecosystem, funding fabulous new technology and high growth companies. So today I have Javier Evelyn with me, who is the founder and CEO of a company called Allergy. That is doing amazing things, and I am actually going to let him go ahead and tell you.
So he's one of those fabulous companies you were talking about.
One of those
about.
Fabulous companies, 100%. So I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about what Allergy is and what they're doing.
For sure.
Welcome.
Thanks so much for the kind intro, and thanks so much for the opportunity. Just so happy to be here. So Allergy, we're building a redesigned epinephrine auto-injector. Most folks think about that as an EpiPen. And our thinking is that, you know, epinephrine auto-injectors are typically left at home. Two-thirds of patients and caregivers like myself, I suffer from a ton of food allergies. Mm. Even though my mom's a nurse, aunt's a doctor, I typically never still did carry, right? So we're redesigning one to fit onto the back of a phone case that triggers what we call a care circle. So your mom, dad, and spouse would know where you're at, what you're allergic to, and how to save your life in real time. We're just automating a protocol that's already out there and taking the panic out of it. And on the other side, we built a mobile application that's really built around improving patient behavior. So you don't have to use a said device at the time of emergencies in the first place. We want you to try to avoid that. So we're trying to build products that improve the quality of life of those impacted by food allergies. And we're based in Detroit, and I'm a Chicago native, but we'll talk about that later on in this conversation, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So with this product, is the injection pen actually attached to your phone?
Yeah. So the thinking is that, you know, the most ubiquitous device that we all carry with us is our cell phone. So most folks think about battery cases. If you're going to save your phone's life, save your own life is what we think about. So it's actually attached, but it is removable. So when you have to use it, you just unlock and inject. On the other side, when it's time for that upgrade, so once every 1 to 2, 3 years, depending on the individual, going from the Google Pixel 3 to the iPhone, I have no dog in that fight at all. We allow you to detach the entire device and throw it onto the back of your phone case. So we really wanted to be intentional about ensuring that you're not, we're not reinventing the consumer experience that folks currently have with their phones, and also blending that with the experience on epinephrine auto injectors as well.
Now, is it a single use? I mean, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Just one shot, and then you got to get it recharged. Is that how it works?
That's correct. Typically, we're following what's been out there in terms of use cases, so we're going to go with a single use at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, these devices are sold in tubes. We'll do the exact same thing as well too. When it comes to the actual phone case, you're just a matter of just putting your new epinephrine auto injector in your phone case. So you're not having to buy a new case every single year, just that typical experience of buying that auto injector every year. One thing that's very interesting about epinephrine, the medication within the device, is that it's pretty unstable. So whether it lasts a full 12 months, which is the expected life cycle, you're just replacing beforehand. So we just want to ensure that you have it when you need it. And also from a form factor and design perspective, it's not there when you don't, right? So when you're out having brunch, you're not feeling kind of awkward about having to carry the device at all times. And that's one of the, I'll say, core feedback we've gotten from different individuals. So from patients to providers and the like, how can we just make this more discreet to carry to kind of lower all of the different things that people think about said medical devices?
And then, sorry to step on your interview.
No, go ahead.
But so when I need a replacement, is there like, you get these through retail locations, drugstores, or what?
Absolutely. So the thing is that we're going to follow us out there, right? So typically, my background, I worked at a health insurance and PBM prior to working on this. So I learned all about improving quality of life and making sure that you have devices that have the ability to be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. And fortunately enough, we're not building something that has been out there. So we're thinking about reimbursed devices when it comes to the Medicaid or the epinephrine auto injector all version, and also the ability to provide a price point that's a lot conducive to having individuals allow them to purchase out of pocket, right? Because typically auto injectors are very expensive. That's one of the other big issues. And our goal is to make sure that it's at the right sweet spot for the most part. In terms of stage, we have, I kind of mentioned our device and the app. We call it treatment and lifestyle. On the treatment side of things, that's what we're talking about, right? That's currently going through development right now. We're looking to submit for regulatory approval this year. Mm. We're following what's been out there, so luckily we don't have to start from scratch. So that's to our advantage. On the other side, the app is currently available on iOS and Android. So we're really intentional about ensuring that we're able to provide value to our patients up front with just simple use tools and a very easy-to-use application.
Mm. Through the applications that you currently have out there, is there a way for then the folks around the patient or your target to kind of see what's going on and start getting engaged ahead of time, like they would be with the care circle
once it was active? Absolutely. So the way it works now is that for myself, I have an allergy profile. Timber creates one as well, too. So she says she's allergic to pistachios or some type of tree nut, which is one of the bigger allergens that are out there. From there, our application will save that information, and you get to just use that as your template, whether it's for yourself and the rest of the family, sort through recipes, different grocery store items as well, too. Hmm. And the thinking is that when we think about food allergy parents, typically whether it's a soccer game or a sleepover, if kids are still doing that these days, by the way, you get a chance to send that core information to the right individuals so they know, hey, this is what I should look out for, and here's the protocol that I should follow should anything happen to this child. So we just want to, again, kind of take the guesswork out of things and provide value up front. And this is low-hanging fruit. These are tools that we're aggregating right now to ensure that while we build our device up, there's a good understanding of who we are as a company and a brand when the device comes.
Hmm. Yeah. So what, I know you have personal allergies, and I think that was probably one of your large driving forces in creating this product and making it easier for you. So you've had a lot of real life experience. So with others out there, I have not.
Mm-hmm.
So how is this going to make it easier going forward between the challenges that people are facing today, and how is it going to be so much easier going forward?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This device?
Oh, yeah. So my mom and my wife will also say, and I'll say this out loud, it's kind of silly, but I was growing up, I was a hard-headed kid in terms of not following that rule of carrying your injector with you at all times. We're not talking about in the car. We're not talking about, you know, a couple of steps to what you need to have it on your person, you know, for the most part. So this device really is all about, let's take the guesswork or just the ability to forget your device in the first place out of the entire equation and put it on something that's ubiquitous. But before you even have to use your device, we want to ensure that you have all the tools and information that's needed to ensure that there's no usage whatsoever of this device and just, quite frankly, improve your quality of life. One lesson outside of the fact that I have a ton of food allergies is when you worked in the healthcare IT space for the big health insurance companies, there's so much value in what we call, what I personally call the triangle offense, right? So that's like your patients, your payers, and your providers, right? So if you find ways to provide value to that triangle offense, apologies for my Chicago background, that's Phil Jackson and the Chicago Bulls, but ultimately it's you win, right? Everybody saves and there's a lot more adherence across the board. So
yeah, absolutely. So I've I know that some children have to carry these things mm-hmm. and know how to use them.
Yeah.
How young would too young for this product be? No, what's great. The good?
Yeah, great, great.
Well, how young are kids getting phones these days?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
true. It used to be like middle school. Now it's even younger than that, right?
Absolutely. So, well, those are perfect questions. So there's a lot. There's actually maybe a bit of conversation around like when it comes to auto injectors, but we actually mapped it against what the current expectation of folks that actually carry cell phones these days. So about 10 years old is what we're thinking about at this point. And in terms of uses, we want to ensure that it's easy enough to be used during emergencies and obviously for anyone up 10 years old around that capacity. But also when a kid has it, or let me say a younger individual that's under 10 playing with mom or dad's phone, they shouldn't get into a situation where they self-inject. So we've really been really intentional with the amazing team that we have around ensuring that use case as well as safety have been at the top of mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are you thinking the price point is going to be for this product?
Right now, we're shooting for $200 for a two-pack.
Okay.
To put that in comparison from what is more commonly known, the EpiPen, that comes out at about $600 for the brand, which is EpiPen on the front, and then mm-hmm. the generic, which is the exact same thing with the words generic epinephrine auto-injector. Great,
yeah.
Great plan. And then you have mm-hmm. a couple others that range from $4,500 to a two-pack down to $100. We're going towards the, generic price with a premium experience. We think by having that combination of price point and experience, we could do something very special.
Yeah, the app, the you know sort of custom injector that is also a phone case. I mean, it's a neat combination.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
That's great.
And then let's talk about Invest Detroit and what they've done for you. You owe me on this one, not Timber.
100%. And then also, but not just what we've done as a partnership with them, but also what they're doing going forward.
Oh, absolutely. So first off, we were super fortunate to engage with Invest Detroit at Accelerate Michigan 2017, I believe, so time flies. And that kind of kicked off the relationship, and they've been a great partner since then. Since that, we've raised some funds from a combination of folks that have worked in Big Pharma to different folks on the clinical side as well, too. So a lot of strategic investment. So moving forward to your question and point, we are looking to raise a current note round this year, Q1 of this year. And we have a very interesting announcement we're going to make towards the as much as I want to kind of like spill the beans on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
I know that's the worst thing in the video, right?
It has broken out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, but ultimately, we're starting off with about a $300,000 note round during this quarter, mm-hmm. and we're going to raise something a little bit bigger this summer. And that's going to be really kind of on the heels of
seven figures, I'm thinking?
Yeah, you know, seven figures for sure.
Yeah.
Like about 1.5 to 2 million is what
okay.
we're kind of shooting for in the next round. But this round is just really just to ensure that we tighten things up. We have an amazing team of four currently, one part-timer. I do, you know, my background from sales to app development, which brought me to the city of Detroit in the first place. We have an amazing industrial designer and engineer on the team as well, too. So like I said, we have a perfect, not the dream team, but we'll go with the Patriots for now, even though I'm not a big Patriots fan.
So yeah. who's the Tom Brady on the team? Would that be you?
You know what? I'm the hoodie. I'm the hoodie right now.
Okay.
I'm more the Belichick. I got to pass it on to some other guys on the team as much as I want to be Tom Brady.
Okay.
Because he's a Michigan grad, right? So
he
one
is,
of the best
yes.
to ever do it, as much as I want to take that credit.
They want to put a statue of him out front next to Bo. Bo has his statue outside of Schimbelecker Hall, right?
I think it makes sense.
What? Six rings. You can see all six rings, right?
I think you can see from anywhere in the state
yeah.
as many as he's won so far.
Ask your question.
Okay. You heard the question before.
For sure.
Are you looking for talent at this point, and how do people get a hold of you?
Yeah. So we started off with getting the most recent talent or person that we brought in was an engineer. We want to bring in more of those individuals. So
mm-hmm.
I would say they can reach us at info@allergy.com or reach us at Allergy, any of the social medias that are out there as well.
Okay. And once again, that's
Allergy.
Yeah, I was going with a phonetic spelling on the pen here that you gave me, but it's Allergy.
There you go.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to thank Javier Evelyn, founder and CEO of Allergy, and we also want to thank Timber Shea of Invest Detroit for another great segment, and we will talk to you again next month. Timber, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast.
And we have calling in, you know, I'm not even sure exactly where you're based, Barry. What city are you in?
I'm in lovely countryside in central Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. And, you know, it's pronounced Einzig, right?
It's Ein, yes, Einzig.
Einzig, okay.
Einzig, okay. I've called Barry on the phone, and I've exchanged emails with him, but I don't think I ever used his last name. So,
well, we're on familiar terms.
Yes, yeah, there we go. Anyway, absolutely. Yeah, so Barry is actually with a group called Cavita. And they are part of the Econolite group. And the connection originally here is Kirk Steidel and I worked together on last year's IoT Tech Connect. And when Kirk retired from MDOT, he went to the private sector to Econolite, where he's the senior VP. So I reached out to him months ago. And so I wanted to announce that I'm not sure if it's official. Is it Econolite that's going to be the sponsor, or is it going to be Cavita?
I think it's going to be a combination of both. Yep.
Okay. But anyway, they're our sponsor for our connected and autonomous vehicle track at IoT Tech Connect. Hit the bell. There, it's a shameless plug bell, which will be April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. So I wanted to get Barry on the show to talk a little bit about, you know, a little promo action on what these guys are going to feature, hopefully, when you come to IoT Tech Connect on April 29th at the Michigan Science Center. So let's talk a little bit about that. So you're going to talk about the CAV situation in Michigan and around the area, right?
Absolutely. There's so much going on in the area. You want me to just kind of jump into it, or do you have some specific questions?
I've got five questions here, but it talks about different things. But let's talk a little bit about – why don't you just run with it and tell me a little bit more. I know we've been working at the tracks and the people you're going to have on those tracks, but let's go into a bit more detail.
Yeah, it should be a great event, and thank you for your opportunity to really expand on this. As you look at Michigan and you look at the activities that are going on, you know, Michigan is the home of automotive engineering and manufacturing, all the research and development. But at the same time, in Silicon Valley, there is the Internet of Things, there is machine learning, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, data exchanges, lots of the technologies that will be needed to enable connected and automated systems as we move forward. So what we really need is an opportunity to take the kind of mission critical, safety first testing and evaluation and the strengths of Michigan and Detroit and tie those into some of the newer capabilities that are coming out of Silicon Valley. And ultimately that will put us in the best position to take advantage of the emerging tech, the rapid prototyping, the ability to scale things quickly within the technology industry, but then make sure that they have the engineering credibility and sensibility and the ability to manufacture that of course, Detroit brings to the equation. So having those two worlds sort of merge together, I think is really the key part of having this event and talking about how the Internet of Things and digitization are really going to have a positive impact on connected and automated vehicle systems.
Go ahead, Matt.
For years, we heard about sort of a chicken and egg scenario where when it comes to connected and automated vehicles, meaning do we require the automakers to enable the technology in all vehicles like with seatbelts, or do we require the infrastructure owners and operators like states and cities to deploy the vehicle to infrastructure technology before we require the automakers to incorporate this technology? You know, how do we bridge that gap between who sort of makes the first move here?
Yeah, one of my favorite questions. I think the easy answer there is fry the egg, broil the chicken. you know, we have to do both at the same time. The reality is that we've already started down the path If you look at the AASHTO organization, the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials, they have what's called the SPAT challenge, signal phase and timing, which is really a growth out of the efforts that went in on the Ann Arbor test bed and M-City and some of the things that are already going on up there. But now it's scaling out nationally. And there are over 84 projects around the United States that are planned for building out connected and automated vehicle technologies for roadside equipment. So what that means is your traffic light can now talk to your car. Your car can now talk to the infrastructure, and your car can begin to talk to other cars and exchange data between those systems. In addition, of course, Cadillac made the commitment a few years ago to connected vehicle technologies, and the number is estimated at about 20,000 vehicles that are already on the road, cars talking to cars, that will be able to talk to this infrastructure. And there are several other automobile manufacturers that that have made a similar commitment, including Toyota, Volkswagen. So by 2020, 2021, we're going to start to see a tremendous number of these vehicles on the road. And we have a good step in the right direction from the infrastructure side. Now, that being said, I don't want to make it sound like this journey is over. This journey is really just beginning, because if you just look at the number of traffic lights in the United States, there are 300,000 traffic lights that need to be connected to the system and automated, along with miles and miles of roadway systems. And then, of course, we have 270 million automobiles. So this is a 15-year journey that we've really just begun. But there are some leaders that are jumping out quickly and starting to deploy these programs. So Pittsburgh is an example, Tampa, Ann Arbor, Oakland County. The city of Las Vegas has done a tremendous project because they have CES there, and so they need to be able to enable, you know, all those cool cars when they come in from Detroit that have all the latest connected automated tech. They need infrastructure there to be able to display those things. And then even cities that you wouldn't think of, like Salt Lake City, who are doing connected and automated vehicles for their mass transit system, for their buses.
Yeah, and in terms of the in-vehicle technology, I mean, you have technologies like Cadillac's Super Cruise, and even some of the simpler stuff, like I've talked about this a couple times on the show before. We leased a new Ford Escape for my wife back in October that has some of these systems in it. It's got the adaptive cruise control. It's got the lane departure warning system. So the car can tell when it's leaving a lane. It wouldn't be all that far of a leap to just make it stay in that lane unless you direct it otherwise. So you could take your hands off the wheel in some situations. And the adaptive cruise control will keep you from bashing into somebody if they slow down in front of you. So, I mean, it's not tremendously far of a leap, I wouldn't think, to get to at least level three or so, right?
No, you're absolutely right. And even with the lane keeping, we now have automatic lane recentering, right? So we are essentially at a level two for many vehicles that are coming off the assembly line today. And the connectivity and the partnership between the infrastructure and multiple vehicles being able to talk to each other, this is really that concept of the Internet of Things, of taking, you know, millions and millions of devices that happen to be automobiles and traffic lights and roadside units, and having them talk together and gaining tremendous amounts of new data and information that can make these systems safer.
So when do you think we're going to move into, say, level three? And then the optimal level for a lot of people will be, you know, you've been at the bar, you've had too much to drink, you jump in the car and say, take me home. I guess that would be level five. What we're hearing from the automakers is they're giving all this, oh, happy talk about we're going to see this. It's just around the corner. I think that corner is a little far out yet, don't you?
For full automation, I would completely agree with you. First of all, part of it is the requirement of this infrastructure that needs to be deployed. But secondly, there is a lot of debate on level three and really the value of level three. So, you know, as we start moving these things forward, we have to be careful that we're not putting the passengers into more danger, because they still have to take back over in recovery mode or fallback mode. So you mentioned Cadillac Super Cruise earlier and its ability to slow the vehicle down and pull it over the side of the road, right? These are the kind of things that have to be designed in if you have to use the impaired driver as a backup, because certainly you don't want the impaired driver as a backup.
Right? No.
So, and we would have the same problem with inexperienced drivers. So we have a ways to go when we get into that level three, and you know, there is still some debate going on, but I would say the majority of the OEMs that we hear from are tending to steer clear of level three and really going towards level four.
Interesting. How would you define level four then? What would level four be?
So level four is the ability to operate in you know, almost all conditions without any interaction from the operator, but the operator still has the ability to take over control. So, and I always use this case with my own family because my son happens to like the off-road vehicles built by a certain company out of Detroit, right?
Heard of them,
and
yeah.
And those off-road vehicles are highly successful. Well, you know, when you're in an off-road environment and you're having a good time stump humping or, you know, mudslinging, whatever you like to do off-road, you're not going to want to be in an automated mode, right? So you need the ability to take over when they're driving is still a fun adventure.
A phrase I know you wanted to talk about is cooperative automated systems. You know, how is that different from, you know, intelligent vehicle highway system, IntelliDrive vehicle to everything, you know, some of the terms we've heard before. So let's talk about cooperative automated systems a bit.
Sure, I appreciate that. And I think this is really where this gets interesting. So if you hear about it in Europe a lot, they'll talk about mobility as a service, or you'll hear smart cities or integrated trip planning. The reality is that the U.S. government is now talking about this across all modes of surface transportation. And it makes a lot more sense if you think about it, right? Buses talking to cars, cars talking to trucks, trucks talking to trains. If we get to the point where these systems are cooperative and automated, they're a lot safer because now I know the truck in the next lane to me is connected. I know if they're automated, I know the weight of the truck, I know the braking distance of the truck. I feel my vehicle can do a lot more to make better decisions to protect my personal safety if we're all operating off one cooperative system.
Are these all going to be themes that you're going to drill down on at IoT Tech Connect?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a great group of panelists that we're putting forward, thanks to your help. I think really driving into these kind of conversations, because this is where the rubber really hits the road, pun completely intended. Because ultimately what we want is we want to be able to take all of the technologies, whether it's through the Internet of Things, whether it's through Silicon Valley, whether it's through development, through research and development there in Detroit. And we want to take the best of breed to solve this problem. And we have to remember we're focused on one of the most difficult technical challenges that we've faced as an industry. And it's going to take all of us on deck to be able to partner together, put this together in a way that makes sense. And the only way we can figure out how to partner together is if we're all talking about where we can support this mission.
Matt and I were looking at each other. So talk a little bit about EconoLite and Cavita. Cavita is actually a new group within EconoLite, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And as you said, formed by some superstars from Michigan. So EconoLite has been around for about 80 years. It's a traditional traffic signal control company. We build traffic signal controllers and detectors for traffic signal intersections, as well as the software to manage all of that so that you can get the signal timing that you're looking for. Then we have the systems group within EconoLite that also builds and operates these system capabilities as either a systems integrator or operating on behalf of the municipal government. And then finally, Cavita is the new kid on the block, and it really came out of some efforts by Peter Swetman, who used to be up there at Umptree, and of course, Abbas Muhammad from our CEO of EconoLite, and then Kirk and I were brought in this past year to help augment this group to focus only on connected and automated vehicle systems, because we saw a real compelling need for that within our customer base to be able to help customers sort of organize their thoughts about what they should be doing about connected and automated vehicle systems, where they should focus their efforts, what's a plan look like? What's the strategy look like? What are the use cases that they should start to pull out? So Cavita is really focused on helping cities, states, national governments, as well as private sector corporations. You'd be amazed the conversations they're coming up with automobile dealers, tier one manufacturers, fleet rental companies, all these private companies that are now thinking about what are they going to do to participate in this new ecosystem of connected and automated systems.
Okay. Thanks very much, Barry Einzig, principal at Kavita. And your role in the Internet of Things when it comes to cars. And once again, they will be at IoT Tech Connect coming up in April, right, Mike?
April 29th.
Okay, at the Detroit Science Center. Don't miss it. All right, for right now, that'll do it. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hello there, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast. Originally aired on February 11th, but you can listen to it any old time you want, wherever fine podcasts are found.
That's it, yes. And we have phoning in from Oakland County. Well, we are in Oakland County. We have phoning in from Pontiac, I guess.
From one part of Oakland County to another. We're in Royal Oak.
Greg Doyle, who is one of the leaders of the Tech 248 networking group. That, you know, for those 4,000 or so companies in Oakland County involved in technology. Yes, very large number, right, Greg?
Yeah. Hey, you know, thanks for having me today. Yes, I'm calling from Pontiac, the heart of Oakland County, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on in Tech 248 this year, so I wanted to tell you about a couple of those things, and maybe if you have some time, we can also talk about 1 million cups briefly.
But, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, the event we've got coming up on February 13th at Oakland Community College is Tech 248 special event around the Apprenti program. I don't know. Have you, either of you two heard about the Apprenti program?
I have not.
No, me neither.
Yeah. So it's, you know, Apprenti is kind of short for apprentice. But it's really, this event is designed to really expose our small tech companies to the possibility of apprenticeships to help fill that talent gap that, you know, everybody has been talking about for the last, 5 years at least, it seems like. And so, you know, the Apprenti model is really... you know, we have an organization in Workforce Investment Network, WIN, and the Apprenti organization who work together to really find a group of qualified individuals and place them in apprenticeships at technical companies really across the country. But this is kind of the first cohort that will be happening here in Southeast Michigan. So the model is really to they pull together a group of potential candidates. They have companies that are interested in really working through an apprenticeship program, interview those selected apprentices, and then the apprentices then receive typically 2 to 5 months of some technical training, and in this case, most likely done through Oakland Community College. Some of the typical technical training that an IT or computer science person would take, or robotics or what have you. And once they've completed that, they're also doing some on-the-job training, and they will then complete the on-the-job, the 2 to 5 months of formal training, and start at the company as an apprentice and be there for 1 year paid on-the-job training. And then hopefully transition into the company as a full-time employee after the apprenticeship is over with.
So after after the initial training at the community college, this is an earn while you learn type program, huh?
It's, pardon me, it's a...
earn while you learn type program.
Absolutely, once you're at the company. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got, so what's really cool about this event, if you're a tech company and you're having a hard time finding talent, not only are they going to have a group of folks that you can interview, but this formal training portion, the 2 to 5 months of technical training that would be done through OCC, or you know, another organization, will actually be funded through WIN, so that the company doesn't incur any of the cost in the formal training of that employee. And you know, we're also going to have our Michigan Works organization at the event as well. And in some cases, there will be ways to subsidize the 1 year of apprenticeship after the formal training. So, I mean, talk about a great solution for folks that are looking to fill some gaps on, and just haven't been able to find the talent out there.
Sure. If there's one thing that we hear from people in this area is that there is a shortage of IT talent. That is one thing we hear all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Feel like I'm
so here, you know, here you've got the opportunity to get somebody in there, get their education basically paid for through this apprentice program, and even afterwards the formal apprenticeship after the formal training. Could even have some subsidy there as well through some of the state funding and training grants and so on. So I think it's going to be a great event. We've got about 140 people registered to attend already. So it should, you know, should be a really good event. We have a panel. So it's going to be open panel discussion so that companies that are considering the apprentice program can actually come in and, you know, ask their questions in a group of experts that have worked with the apprentice program. So we're going to have Jennifer Carlson, who's the executive director of Apprenti, Sandra Backer, who is from Oakland Community College, Sarah Kropinski, who is from Michigan Works, and then we're going to have two companies that have actually used the apprentice program before and representatives from those companies, Andy Fry at One Magnify and Sophie Stepke at the ZF Group. So you're going to hear from companies that have that are using it and how it's worked, and you're also going to hear, you know, kind of all the details of how you could how you can make it work for your company. So
where and when is this event?
So it's going to be February 13th.
That would be Wednesday.
Yep. It is next this Wednesday.
This
yes,
Wednesday, two yes. a mere
That's
2 days
right,
from
yeah.
right now.
I mean, it's coming up. We can, you know, people can still go to tech248.com and they can register for the event. If you can't get into register, you can walk in as well. So if you miss the formal registration process, no worries. You can come in and we'll get you a name tag and get you a seat and you'll be all set. So February 13th from 3 till 5
okay.
at Oakland Community College at 2900 Featherstone Road in Auburn Hills.
Oh, it's the Auburn Hills campus. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Building G, room 240.
And now, are you going to do this more than once in 2019?
This is the only one that we have scheduled right now. There is a funding for their formal training portion, but we suspect that it's going to be probably taken quickly as soon as companies start to understand how this works and the great opportunity that they have. So this is the Tech248 Network's really the first to hear about it and to have the opportunity to get involved. But, you know, of course, the folks at WIN and Michigan Works and the apprentice program are going to be, from that point on, talking to everybody about it. So if you want to get kind of a, you know, first foot in the door, it'd be a great idea to come out.
All right. You've also got an augmented reality event coming up, I see here.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that's a Tech 248 special event. And then, as you guys know, we do these Tech 248 meetups every single month. And so the difference between a meetup and a special event is the meetup is always the same format. It's, you know, 2 hours long. There's a guest speaker that's typically 15 to 20 minutes, and the bulk of the 2 hours is really spent in helping people make connections. So our meetup for February is happening at a place called Ops Solution, OPS Solutions, and that is actually out in Wixom. So we're in the, you know,
The far west.
Yep. And it's going to be a morning event, so we'll start at 10 a.m. on February 21st. Registration is open for that event as well. So, you know, I think we're getting pretty close to 100 registered for that. And we'll put out another notice to our network. But whether you're in the network or not, you're certainly welcome to register and come out to the meetup and see another one of our great companies here in Southeast Michigan and take a look at what they're doing. It's the topic is manufacturing at the speed of light through augmented reality. So the company does some really, really interesting things with using light and light signaling in the manufacturing process.
So, yeah, I think I've signed up for that one, too. Wixom is actually not so bad for me for a guy in Ann Arbor. I can handle that drive. It's probably 20, 25 minutes.
You're almost there.
I'm almost there versus going to something in Pontiac, which for me is 75 miles away. So, heck of a drive. So, let's talk a little bit about Tech 248. It's been around now for, 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's been, I think it's 4 years now.
Hmm.
Yeah, hard to believe. Time goes by, you know?
So, go ahead. Tell us all about it. I mean, this may be the first time folks have heard of it.
Yeah, so, you know, Tech 248 was really started because we have so many tech companies in the area. And, you know, we heard here at Oakland County in the Economic Development Department, we heard from so many of them, and they were asking, like, you know, how can you guys help us out? And frankly, we said, well, like, what kind of help do you need? And really what we found that our tech companies are looking for mostly are three things. One is they really want some help connecting to each other. You know, we had, like, so many stories of companies that, you know, they work just one floor up from the other company and, you know, they could have been working together. They could have done some deals together if they only knew that each other existed, you know? Mm. So just helping companies make a connection was a big part of what they wanted. The other piece, of course, had to do with this talent, you know, the talent crunch that everyone's facing. Was there anything we could do to kind of help them with that? And of course, you know, we just talked about the apprentice program and presenting that to our network. And then the third thing was, hey, you know, we've got so many tech companies here. The world doesn't know it. Can you help us brand, you know, this area as a tech hotspot? And so that's what really Tech 248 is doing, those three things. So our meetups are really about trying to help these companies meet and frankly, you know, find new business opportunities, do business together, and help really network them. So, you know, our meetups, like I said, they happen monthly. We always try and do it in kind of a cool space. You know, we've highlighted several of the great tech companies in Oakland County. We've been out to General Motors Proving Grounds. We've been to, you know, gosh, we even went out. We had a meetup at the Oakland County Airport. We've had meetups at, like, just about every corner of every community now in Oakland County. And so we've highlighted a lot of great companies. Generally, we have our membership and our attendance at the meetups has continued to grow. So,
all right, Greg, we have just a few seconds left. Give people a website for Tech 248, please.
Sure. It's tech248.com.
Okay, that's very simple.
That's pretty easy. Yeah. TECH248.com. And, you know, free to join, free to participate in the meetups, and we'd like to see you come out. So just check it out.
All right. Want to thank Greg Doyle of Tech248, the Oakland County Tech Company Networking Group, for being our guest today. Want to thank all of our guests today, Greg Doyle and earlier Kavita Principal Barry Einzig, Invest Detroit Ventures Tim Berchet and her portfolio company CEO Javier Evelyn, founder and CEO of Allergy. And we kicked off the show with Bullseye Telecom new CEO Tom Tisco talking about this venerable 20-year-old tech company in these parts. Boy, how much is that in dog years? That's a lot.
Yeah, 20-year-old tech company is a pretty old tech company.
Yeah. So good show today, Mike. We will be back at 2 p.m. Eastern time next Monday with another edition of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.